Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed.
Praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Well, again, we've sent you, if you received this link on your text or on the phone or in the email, or if you went to the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, again, this is our newest episode. We're already in the last month of 2021. We're in December, and again, this is our newest episode for this month. For this episode, I invited Elder Kenny Thompson, a brother I met a couple years ago now, and we had served ministry together and fellowship and connected, and we just wanted to bring him on, and we're going to talk about some things tonight about the character traits of a man of God. As always, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we just want to come together and encourage you, speak into your life, encourage you no matter what you're going on, because you have to remember that we have more things in common than we are different in this Christian walk as we live our lives and as we lead in the home, in the church, and in the communities as fathers, husbands, and sons. So, brothers, again, welcome. Pray that it's something be said tonight that will bless you and encourage you, and also encourage you to share it with your brothers that you may be in fellowship with, discipling, or mentoring, that they might receive a word of encouragement through the things that are spoken tonight. Amen. We're going to open with prayer, and we're going to go right into the conversation. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men Talk, episode The Character Traits of a Man of God. Let us pray. Father, we just say thank you right now, Lord. Father, we come to you with humble hearts, oh God. We go to your throne of grace right now. Father, you know the needs and desires of every man that's hearing this and the sound of my voice. Those who are hearing this from a text link, from online, from the Facebook page, God, you know their needs, oh God. So I'm going to lift them up, oh God, in their circumstances, in their situations, oh God. Anything they may be struggling with emotionally, spiritually, financially, mentally, that God, your Holy Spirit would touch them, encourage them, and strengthen them to continue to press on, to not give up, to seek you, seek your wisdom, and seek your will for their lives, oh God. So, Father, we ask, oh God, you continue to touch us, Lord God. Father, I lift up those who are in hospital beds, those in nursing homes, those in jails, those in prisons and jails, those who maybe have loved ones who are in the hospital who have come down with different kinds of illnesses at the bedside. We ask that you would comfort them, even in the midst of what's going on. God, even in those choices and those circumstances they may be in, comfort them, even in their sorrow, even in their mourning, oh God. So we ask that in your name. Continue to strengthen the church, oh God, that we will be able to rise up, that we'll be able to become light, salt and light in this culture, in these evil and last times, days, oh God, in times, God, that your church, God, would be, we pray for revival in the hearts of your people, that the church can continue to start to be the church, that the church can come out of these pandemics and these lockdowns, God, and start to go and minister to the lost, oh God. Help those who are suffering, oh God, and bring a spiritual light, oh God, into a darkness, oh God. Continue to strengthen us and keep us, oh God. I ask Pastor today I to lift up pastors and elders, oh God, those who labor behind the scenes that minister to your people. And we ask, oh God, that you would strengthen them even in the midst of what's going on, Lord God, that they would never, never, never give up. So, Father, again, we just say thank you. We ask your blessings. Continue to watch over us, God, that we might stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, amen, brothers. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. And tonight, our discussion is going to focus around the character traits of a godly man. We're going to touch on a couple here. We're going to launch off on a couple here. We're going to talk about contentment. We're going to talk about wisdom and encouragement. And first, let me bring my guest on, Elder Kenny Thompson. How are you, sir? Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning. Good evening. Good evening. Amen. Thank you for having me. It's just, as you're praying, I just got excited all over again. And it took me back to, like I said, when we first met. So I'm just excited to be here. Thank you for having me. And I see that the Lord's hand is still on you. Again, I'm going there already.
Amen.
You know, but pray for me. I feel the power of the Lord coming. As you were praying, it just caused me to reflect that a pioneer is someone that has done something or is doing something that hasn't been done before. And having known you prior, I see that the hand of God is causing you to do things that you may not have done before and in a way of excellence. So I thank God that you're continuing to allow the power of the Lord to come through you, that you continue to touch other men. And it's exciting to see what God is doing through you and by you and the things that he has put in you now, because I know what you used to do and what we used to do together, but seeing you now become that pioneer like the mighty men in the Bible before you. And I think that's a marvelous thing to be able to do the thing that God has set before you, because we serve an awesome God. And I just thank God for you. I continue to pray encouragement for you and the ministry that God has called you to. So that's all I want to say right now.
Amen. Well, I appreciate that, man, because you're right. It's amen. I'm thankful every day. God, you know, he gave me something, you know me with the men, and he just gave me a passion for it, and I just continue to push because it's funny. We at a certain age now, we've seen a generation of brothers come up in the church, And it's the same issues, a lot of the stuff we struggle with. You know, so that's why we have to continue to press, continue to encourage. And for those brothers that are listening, as you know, my passion is for men's ministry and ministry to men. And even in the midst of this pandemic, the opportunities for men of God to come together to encourage one another, to disciple one another, and mentor one another, because we can't do this Christian walk alone. And we should, we should not be doing it alone. And being part of a local congregation, and then also within these local congregations, opportunity when the men will come together and encourage one another, search the word to one another, encourage those things. Because, like I say, husband, father, and son, those are the things we have in common. Different times and seasons of our life, that's what we are, and we have responsibilities in those roles, and we also have authority in those roles. But you know, everybody doesn't know what God called, how God defines those roles, because we all have cultural definitions or family definitions of those roles, but that's not, you know, God has called us to something greater and to leave legacies. So, anyway, but in saying that, bro, I'm going to start off. One of the character traits that I want to talk about is for men of God is the character trait of being of contentment, of contentment. And what does that really mean? And what is that? And how do we search it out? You know, I had a scripture that I wanted to use to kick off to prime us off of It's 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Okay.
1 Timothy chapter 6, and man, I got an old paper Bible, as the brothers out there know. So I have to flip.
Oh, they were.
Because for some reason it just closed on me. As soon as I turned to it, it closed. So this is what happens. You got paper Bible.
They still work.
Amen.
They still work. They still work.
Yes, sir.
They haven't gone out of style.
That's right. So 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. Amen. Here we go. Now, the word says, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall in temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. That right there is some power. And that's what, as men of God, we have to, you know, I believe we have to on purpose. And what, when is enough is enough? I think I'm going to break it down like that.
Yeah.
We'll start there. When is enough is enough? You know, because we can get caught up with chasing money, chasing jobs, chasing career. And when does that thing start to creep in to greed? And we all know that greed is a sin. So what do you say, sir? What do you say about contentment? Now, that how that's important for us as men of God.
Well, first, we have to go back to the issue, and that is, what are you pursuing? And the thing that you, how do I put it? The thing that you love, or make sure I'm saying this right, the thing that you think about the most, or you spend your time, is the thing that you're going to love. Now, the state of contentment to me is wherever I'm at, I'm sure I'm being purposed by God. So I have to be content in that. I've had some challenges this past year. I mean, you know, but I question, why am I in this? But if all things work together for the good of the Lord and who are called according to his purpose, I'm called to the purpose of God. So the purpose or my contentment is going to be found in him, no matter what my trial is or what challenges come. Now, it's the enemy's job to cause me to walk, I'm going to say, by sight, looking over at the neighbor's yard to see what they're doing. But really, am I fulfilling God's mandated purpose in my life, you see? And that's the thing I think that most people forget and allow other outside things to be paramount in their lives, as opposed to the pursuit of God or the happiness found in God. So for me, contentment, once I found it, it was actually in Christ Jesus. Yes, sir. And no matter what else comes my way, I have to realize that I'm always going to be a man of God. And when I'm putting him first, because if you look back through everything that Jesus did during his life, he said, my will is to do what the Father has set for him. And just for a reference, so people don't know or may not understand, in Psalms, 139, and one of my favorite ones, 16, it said that your eyes saw me unformed, my unformed body, and all the days already were ordained for me were written in your book before any of them came to pass. So anything I'm doing outside of the will of the Lord, I'm not going to be happy with until I find happiness and peace in fulfilling what God has for me. So that's my take.
Amen, sir. Amen. And, you know, you touch on some things that this always sparked the conversations. And that's why I say time when brothers come together, that we can grow from it and get understanding from one another. Because you said the thing about pursuing and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I always talked about here, this Christian Men's Talk, is about you have to know that God created us for a purpose. There's a reason. There's a plan for our lives. There's a reason for our salvation. Even no matter when we came into the faith, if it was later on, mm-hmm. early on, or if it was last week, or if it was 25 years ago, God's had a purpose. Because we're all going to have different seasons, and we have to be able to be mm-hmm. in that place where we are content right now with what God has us doing, no matter what it is, knowing that, like you said, we're there in this particular time and space for a reason, because God is mm-hmm. control, and God has seen it from the beginning, from when we were born. So he's known mm-hmm. this time, because he knows a lot of times we talk to brothers who came into the church, you know, like I did, like in their late 30s, late 40s, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. But there was mm-hmm. there was a reason for that, because mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. things that are in you that you're bringing to the body of Christ that the body of Christ is going to need, and that's the thing mm-hmm. we have to remember. It's not, you know, and these things, and then let me say this when it comes to contentment too, because it's something that I learned a long time ago. This is back when I first got saved. I met a brother. It was, as a matter of fact, it was at a men's group, and he was a deacon. It was a men's group. It was a Baptist church. But he was a deacon. The brother was 75 years old, and he's been in deacon ministry for about 50 years. Mm. And that was he was giving his testimony, and then another brother gave a testimony. Said, you know, he gave the testimony of that man's life because he's known him that long. And you know, mm-hmm, sometimes mm-hmm. we get in the church and we think that being in the church is a career path. But that brother was faithful to the role that he had. And I think that mm-hmm. was an example that I picked up, and that a lot of, and I'd like to share that, because a lot of brothers understand that it's God, and God can put you in mm-hmm. a place, and he wants you, that's where he wants you. He wants you to be faithful. Mm-hmm. There's going to be things going on around you, but he needs you to be the stability sometimes. He needs you mm-hmm. to be right there, because no matter whatever conspires around you or goes, you have to be there. He needs foundational men. And that's where I see mm-hmm. when I see mm-hmm. contentment, because we think we all want to excel, achieve, or you know what I'm saying? Because we're not content. We have that. We have a desire. Mm. I mean, because greed is more than money. Greed is for position and prestige and all these things. That's also a sin of greed, because we want to be something, and we don't know if that something is not what God created us for. So I mm-hmm. think we talk about contentment, like you said. And I think some of that is knowing God, knowing the will of God for you. And it mm-hmm. doesn't matter what else is going on around you, because you have to be in a place where you're hearing from God and what the will of God is for you as an individual, brother. And again, there's different seasons. Because, you know, sometimes I think about it now. I look back because, you know, I've been to church in a while, and I don't, you know, I see a lot of brothers struggling to be, but then they neglect the more important things. Let me say mm-hmm. it like that. They even okay. not
That's
even,
a lot
not even saying, ministry. Man. They're pursuing things mm-hmm. in their careers, and they're missing stuff for their family. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not content mm-hmm. where they are. They think they have to keep moving up the ladder. And sometimes we have to understand what a plateau is, because this is what God mm-hmm. had for us, and then we plateau out. But if we don't find that sense of contentment will always want more, 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 and they will miss out. And we won't enjoy what we have. You see what I'm saying? We want so much more, but we can't enjoy the things we have because we don't value them, if I'm saying that right. What do you say, sir?
I think so. What comes to mind, a man's gift will make room for him, but all gifts come from God, you see. And I don't have to claw to get to the top. He has a path that has been set for me. I don't have to be envious or jealous because you have a radio show and I don't, or you can sing. You know, love to sing, but God has given me my own pitch, my own tune. And whatever it is, I do to the glory of God, you see. And when we can be satisfied in what God has already done, you see. I'm going to share this testimony. You may understand what I'm saying. We were moving to Florida, and we had a real bad accident. Now, first of all, I'm wondering why I'm in a hospital in a cast and have to be operated on. That's the first thing. But let me tell you the thing that I heard that I will always stand on. God told me I am the healed of the Lord. Now, not understanding what it is that God meant at that moment, but the person I am, I'm taking him at his word. Well, okay, well, I'm going to get up and walk. But there was a process that I had to go through to get to where I am today. And, I mean, many times I had to recite for my own self because the enemy was trying to come into my mind and mess my head up. I had to recite, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, and I will walk in victory because I stood on what I heard and will profess to the day of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the healed of the Lord. Now, it didn't say that I was going to remain hospitalized or remain in a wheelchair or on a walker or a cane. The process from that to now was the process that I had to go through. Now, it's not the same as, what's the guy, Tiger Woods. His accident and injuries were very similar to mine, except that no bones came out the skin. Now, I had to be content in the healing process because I heard what God said. Now I can walk and I can shout a little bit, but if I had stopped in my belief that God will heal me, trying to say, let me do it my way as opposed to God's way, I won't be fulfilling his purpose. You see what I mean? Now,
yes, sir.
In the hospital, I had more opportunities to minister. Of course, yeah. I had my sidebar with the Lord. Could he have chose another way for me to minister? But this was the course that he set before me, and it was testing my faith. You see, and my faith is in the Word of God. So whatever state I'm in, right now I'm in the healing process, I'm going to be content because my God is a healer. If I take his word at his word, and his word is true, and what he told me, I will go to my deathbed on that, that I am the healed of the Lord. So I stand on that. Now, do I have scars? Do I have pain? Yes. But I am. It doesn't take away from the fact that I am still the healed of the Lord. Because it says in his word, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm already healed. It's just walking out the manifestation of it until it comes. You see, so I'm trying to talk to your listeners out there that may be going through pain in their body, may have even had a diagnosis from a doctor. But do you understand we serve Dr. Jesus? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
He's the supernatural God that all he did was speak a word and it was so, you see. So that's the type of commitment I have to God, to his word over my life, you see. And if I'm exuding the fruits of the Spirit, being a man of God, a man of integrity, trying to love my neighbor and go through this process, I'm committed until the end. And the fact that I have life and breath in my body today on this call with you, my friend, that God is still working and there's still more to come. So stay the course is all I'm saying. No matter what, don't worry about what your neighbor's doing. Don't worry about his house, what is it, his car, or any of that. Those things, you're not taking to eternity anyway. This is just a pass-through. Everything that we're doing, even today, is for eternity. This is the thing that catapults and saves people's lives by telling them of the goodness of the Lord. You see, we're fully committed in this. I'm not halfway, three-quarters way, and I'm not making a, what is it, the U-turn. I'm committed to this because my God has shown himself to be faithful. So if he's faithful, even over a little thing, then I know much is coming, even for me.
Amen, sir. Amen. And you know, bro, when you were saying that, is you know, for the brothers out there listening, if you heard what he said, that even in where he was in the hospital or where he, because of the accident and injuries, he was able to minister. And that could have been the thing that we have, oh, my God, we have a hope for
Thank
the gospel
you.
For eternal life to people. So if wherever he puts us, is that's our mission, that's our purpose. And now, and then, when we're not content where we are, we can miss out on the assignment. Like you said, the process. What lines will you cross because of your circumstances that you can now, as a man of God, if your character is to be content, then when you're content, you're not looking for the next, but you're looking around on how God can use you. And then, I mean, you said about, you know, being on where you were, you were still who you are, and you was able to minister to people, the nurses, the staff, the hospital, the physical therapists, all that. You had opportunity to connect those lives that you wouldn't have connected if you wasn't in the accident. And for the brothers out there, the things we go through put us in a place that God's going to wants to use us. And it can use us if we are not looking to get out of it. You see what I'm saying? We because sometimes we have to stand right where God puts us and do it. Because, again, it's about, if we persuaded and we know what we have, a call on our life and the thing that we do, that any opportunity we're given to bring the light to the darkness. And that's where we have to be. And because when you're content, then you can see other things. Because, you know, brothers, we all know, if we get our eyes, if we get focused on one thing, we got blinders to the left and to the right of us. And we can miss the assignment. We have to remember that. Because it's all about, like you said, it's not about cars and houses. It's about souls. And if we don't have the character trait of contentment where we can take and look around and see what else, see what other people need, see what other, how we can help someone else. But we all trying to get, we want to get. We want to acquire more. We want more. We desire more. We all that. We can't help our brother. We can't help those that need help. Because we worry about us. That's selfishness. Because we not content.
Yeah.
So in contentment is where we have opportunity where God can use us. Amen.
Amen.
That's a good one.
Amen.
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 Well, brother,
Amen.
This is Issues Christian Man Clark. Just because you just got in, you just jumped in. If you're listening online and somebody sent it to you, just to let you know, this is Issues Christian Man Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Elder Kenny. And also, brother, let me say this, too. We are for the rest of this year, it's 2020, we're in December right now. We're going to be live on Saturday because this show here is pre-recorded. If you got it, if I text you the link or I emailed you the link or you got the link from the Facebook page, this is a pre-recorded show, but we do have a call on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. where you can call in and participate and share your insights and wisdom. Also, if you send me a text, we can connect you. We're doing 5 and 7 day devotionals with the Bible.com website, some of the men's devotionals there. If you want to connect with us, that if you request it, start the new one, I can send you the link. You can join us there. And also, we come together on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Thursday nights at 8 p.m. on a Zoom meeting. We can check in on everybody, physically, and see everybody, and you know, just in fellowship and encouragement and prayer. and talk about the devotional a little bit, the insights of what we learned through those devotionals. So again, brothers, if you got the text, that means I got your number. You should have my number. Let me know if you're interested in being part of that. Also, we posted on the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and you can follow us that way and reach out to us. Amen. Well, brother, I'm going to continue in that vein because I want to talk the next trait I want to talk about is encouragement. Encouragement.
Mm.
And my scripture, I want to jump off our scripture. It's going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. And the word says, therefore, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you also are doing. 12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love in their work's sake, but be at peace among yourselves. That's a lot, yeah, that's a lot. But I just wanted to say, you know, we as men of God, we have to learn to encourage one another. I know we all heard about crabs in the barrel and you know, stepping on people to get where we want to go, but that's not who we are and who we should be as men of God. Again, these are the character traits of a man of God. And we should be able to encourage our brother and build our brothers up. Because, again, this walk, the Christian walk, living by faith, living obedient to Christ, you know, and just being in communion. This is why we have the church. This is why he called this church to be a particular people. Because we are to encourage one another, look out for one another. You know, as I always say, we read the book of Acts. We need to see what the book of Acts is saying. Because even in the midst of that, coming to Christ, it was a big deal culturally and socially. And we have to understand that, you know, they depended on one another. I know in the church we're in now, the way that church is, especially in America and the Western culture, you know, we're getting I just think we're getting a little too independent because people don't see the value of being connected in a local congregation. You know, I run into brothers all the time who are quote-unquote in the faith, but they don't attend a regular church. They don't have a pastor. They don't like, Elder, I know you heard this before. I don't need an organized church. I don't need part of no church. Mm. Them pastors is this and them pastors is that. But that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
You know, and then again, I always tell brothers, listen, you can't tell me all these churches in your zip code, you can't find nowhere to fellowship and connect with people. I understand you may not get along with everybody, but that you cannot do this Christian walk alone. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger. You can't find it in Scripture. And again, Christ died for his body, and he's called us because we can do more together. Even if you think that you know God called you for something, we can do more together than we can separately because we're just being a community. We have to depend on each other. And like I said, when you really read the New Testament of what Paul was writing and Peter was writing, he exhorted the fellowship one to another. And in that's where we get our encouragement. I mean, I don't see how Brother Costay, he says he reads the Bible and he prays. But, okay, so you read the Bible. How do you know you get the true understanding? When the Scripture says iron sharpens iron. You can't tell me that you're going to see all in Scripture what's all there, reading it by yourself. You have no one to bounce it off of. You don't have no one, again, now we're going to get into another conversation because I talk encouragement and then I tie that into accountability. But we're going to see how this goes tonight. Amen? But what do you say, bro? The importance of being around a community that we can encourage one another because you can't do a one another by yourself. What do you say, sir?
Correct. Correct. I agree. Since this is men, I'm going to just say the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And unless you know anything about iron, when you rub up against each other with iron, you're going to get some sparks and you should sharpen each other. That means on one side, when we're rubbing up, you're going to sharpen me. We're going to edify. We're going to strengthen one another because honestly, this pandemic has challenged the local church, but the thing that I always stress, it could be challenging, but the thing that I stress is the fact that there's no touch point. We're out trying to feed the hungry and the homeless and things of that nature, But the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in a matter of one kind or another. We need touch points. Even back in Genesis, God himself walked in the cool of the evening to make contact to touch Adam and Eve. So there are touch points. And if we don't get to hug each other because of the pandemic, we don't get to touch, shake hands, and just give a brotherly greeting, it's a missed opportunity. Or I can't go up to you because you don't have your sign up to say I've received my shots or I didn't receive my shot. Forget that. I'm going to show brotherly love, in other words. And I'm going to let the fruit of the Spirit be shown. For me, when we look at, or let's, as they say, unplug, or let's go through some of the fruits of the Spirit. One's love, joy, and we got to be at peace with our brother. We got to bear our brothers up sometimes.
Yeah.
And we got to show brotherly kindness and some goodness. And we got to be faithful. We got to be show faithfulness. And we got to be gentle. You know, everything's not rough and rough and rough and ready. We have to have, as men of God, self-control. Now, the world may call you soft or whatever, but I'm a thorough man of the Lord, and there's nothing soft about me, but I love God, you see. So therefore, there are going to be times when I'm going to show even more patience or the love of God, because in 1 Corinthians, it talks about you can have faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of all of these is the love of God. God so loved us. He loved me even when I was a sinner and was patient with me to get
Amen.
Me to where I am today. So why can't I do that for my brothers, you see?
So yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You tell me, don't you want mercy? I mean, come
yes,
on. We've
sir.
All
every
fallen.
Day.
Yeah.
Every day we need more mercy just in
yeah.
case.
I need mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, you know. And my prayer is, honestly, every morning, Lord, forgive me where I've sinned. Now, some people may not be that honest with themselves or with the Lord. He knows all. My thing, I may not have done things right. I may not have said things right. But, Lord, have mercy on me because I'm still a work in progress. But, again, I'm going to get strong by hanging with my brothers, seeing my brothers and hearing my brothers pray. And like now, I'm excited still. You should see me. I was nervous to be on the show, but God, you get the glory. It's not about me. God, you
Amen.
Get the glory out of everything I do, out of my life, you see. And our lives, honest Deacon Farr, should always exemplify the Father, you see.
Amen.
When people leave your presence, they say, man, I was with a man of God. You see, there will be no doubt in their mind that you've been to the throne room, that you just came out of an encounter with the Lord himself. Your show should grow simply because of the truth that you're doing. It's not about the marquee saying Deacon Farr this and that. It's all about giving God glory for everything. I thank him for the sunrise. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the wind that blows, you see. He gave us the sun. He gave us sometime the cloud and the rain. And those are the things that we have to be grateful for and to say thank you. Thank you. I know I may have gotten a little off. I got a little excited.
That's all right, brother, because that's
yeah.
what we're called to do. That's what that's the God living within us. And when it comes to encouraging
yeah.
one another, we have to be in that place, because if we're not being led by, first of all, let me say this, and the character traits we're talking about and all the things and the fruit of the Spirit, this is all about the Holy Ghost working within us, because, you know, we
yeah.
can't do this. I can't do gentleness. I can't do faithfulness. I can't do none of that out of my own flesh, because my flesh is going to get tired of me putting up with you. But in the Spirit,
because
my flesh, you're going to wear my flesh out. We all know what
yeah.
that feels like. But that's when we got to step
yeah.
back and pray and say, this is a God. This is God. I'm in this thing. I'm around this person. I'm called to be an encourager to this brother who just keep on doing the same old stuff, because it's a supernatural. is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's the thing we also, when it comes to encourage, because sometimes we have to comfort a brother who just went out and did the thing we just talked about, but he did it again, but we're not going to kick him to the curb. We don't want to say, you know what, I'm tired, because you know me, we've been around a while, a couple churches. We talk about people, again, really? Is that how you respond to someone who's suffering, that because they didn't get it right, or they struggled, or they slipped, or they whatever, you're gonna that's not love. Condemning them is not love. And comfort them, consoling them, and exhorting them to get up, to start again, to repent, you know, because you know, but it's to keep them, to edify, to build them up, so they can. We want to promote growth. That, let me say it like this, and I'm gonna come back to you. We want to, and when we talk about encouragement, we want to promote the growth of God in each other. Now, that could be done a lot of different ways, but that should be something that we, you know, we have to work on, because again, it's a supernatural, because we have to know what to say and how to say things to some folk. Because let me say this too, brothers, you know, some brothers or some people, you know, even you might be one of them. People are going to come to you a certain way. They're going to come a little rough to you because you need to hear it a little rough. So don't think it's all hugging and loving. Sometimes it's, hey, bro, what you doing? Come on. You know what I mean? And, when, you know, but that's why, again, I go back to my premise, I go back to my default position. This is why we need men's ministry in the time when brothers are coming together and it's just some men in the room, and we're committed to hold each other accountable. I mean, it's encouragement, but it's also accountability. That's why to me, they're like synonyms to me. I'm encouraging you, and I'm holding you accountable. Because you confess to be a man of God, so now I got something to hold you to. You just can't be something and then just do anything you want, because that ain't what God says. I know we have freedom in Christ, and we're set free, but we're set free from not to live sinful, disobedient, you know, all that stuff we shouldn't be. But, all right, hold on, let me calm down. But again,
it's okay.
We have to encourage one another, and we have to be men. But we have to be, and then also, like I say, it comes back to us. We have to be in a place where we're willing to bear the burdens of our brother, because that's part of it too.
Well,
no matter what
you're going. I'm going on out here again, sir. I'm going out here again.
All right, I got you. Don't worry about it. Bye. This is my show. I ain't got no sponsors. Go. We can do with you how you feel. All whatever right. God put on you.
Here we go.
I ain't
got
to please nobody. This is, this is free space.
This is men talking to men.
This is men talking.
All right, here we go. I'm going out there now. Do you ever realize and recognize and wonder why it seems as though more and more black men that are succeeding in sports? That'll be my question. I'm going to let you marinate on it, but I'm going to give you the answer.
Okay,
They have a referee, and they have umpires, and they have these little white lines out of bounds.
Yes. Come on. I got you. I'm with you, bro. I'm riding with you.
Hey, you're in the lane too long. Now, and they blow the whistle.
Yes.
You see. Now, they succeed because they have barriers. They have borders. And you know immediately if you did an infraction, because the referee will throw the flag, blow the whistle, illegal procedure, any of these things will happen. But in life, they miss it because they're looking for someone. And this is where we come in, that can help guide them. Blow that whistle. Look, bro, that particular pathway will lead to this. Now, there's a consequence, 15-yard penalty. Or now they have, what is that? Eliminate them from the game. They kick them out.
Yeah,
because of an infraction, you see. Mm-hmm. But now let's take that spiritually. Let's elevate that a little bit spiritually. Naturally, they're going through life thinking this is life and this is how I'm doing it. But we that are spiritual realize that we're not battling against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, in high places. This is the battle. Every day I'm in a fight, you see. I can walk down the street, but I'm in a battle. There's evil presence on the left and on the right. But they said, I can do all things through Christ. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He says, he's more than the whole world against me. I can succeed this way because the battle is fixed for me. You see, God is undefeated, the Deacon Farr.
Amen.
Oh, he has
yes,
suffered
sir.
A loss. He's undefeated. And the sooner these young men realize that they're on the wrong side, they're lifting up the wrong thing, they're looking at the wrong thing, the videos are, I have to turn the TV, I don't want to see a video. The music, the enemy is using anything and everything to infiltrate their mind. You see, my mind is stayed on Christ. He'd say, pray without ceasing. I have a praying spirit, you see. Some people try to misconstrue that to say, oh, you're supposed to pray 24 hours a day. No, that's not the intent of it. It's to have a praying spirit. You started this show out by praying, you see. So now if the enemy's there, you've already put up a wall to hold the enemy back. Don't you think that they would want to pull the plug, cause a power outage or any of those things? But God has given you and me authority over those things. So therefore, if we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, then there's spiritual wickedness. There's rulers of darkness that we must fight against. So in order to encourage our brothers, because now going back to the field, when you see the guys do a, what is it, a slam dunk or something, what do? They high five, they go run down the field. But that's not sportsmanship. But that's them acting out. Like they'll never get in the end zone again. Come on now. I shot some three-pointers
in my
head.
Right. It depends what team you're on, because some of them don't have no touchdowns. Some of them ain't got no wins, you know, so they don't know. That's another discussion. But, yes,
that's
sir,
another
I
story.
Agree. We're going to
unveil that later. That's another
topic.
Yeah,
that's another topic.
But I'm saying... In life, like now, I'm saying, Deacon Farr, I'm proud of you. That's not hard for me to say. Why? Because I am. I want to see you succeed and continue to grow, your ministry continue to grow. And as a result, I played a role, but it was all about the Lord. You see what I mean? So
yes,
you can't encourage someone else and it not take anything away from you.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's too much I and not enough the Lord, you see.
Yeah.
It's the Christ in me and not anything else. People say, oh, man, you did this. Thank the Lord because he gave me the strength. Every day I thank the Lord that I can get up and walk and not have a limp. Now, am I 100%? No. Am I working toward it? Yes, I'm 100% progress. Because I'm 100% further than I was from laying on the bed.
That's right.
Operating. Couldn't move. But I thank God that I can move. I don't have, complete flexibility. But along the way, I've had people keep going. Don't turn back. I had to have people help me go up a stair step. They say, you can do it. When my body, my feet were hurting, and I was even nervous, I had to recite, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you see. So my problem is I don't have an issue trying to encourage someone, but it's when the light is all about the me, when it should be about Christ. These athletes have a platform that they could really, really move and help someone. But if it's all about me and all about me, that's a God-given gift that he gave you, but it can be taken away in a matter of minutes, you see. So, no,
yes, sir.
I always try to encourage like this. Continue on, bro. Run on, bro.
Well, amen, bro. You know, I appreciate you, man, because I remember, you know, when we met in the years we spent in the labor we did together. But, you know, and that's what it is. That's what it's about. I mean, you said a lot. You said a lot there. And I hope the brothers who are listening on the line, you receive some of that, because we have to encourage each other in this walk. It's about the faith. It's mm-hmm. about that. It's that we not, none of us is perfect while we walk in this earth, but we all need mm-hmm. to be encouraged. We all need to be reminded of our purpose. Sometimes we have to be pulled back on course. And I like what you did with that the metaphor. I forgot the word, but the analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Analogy, mm-hmm. That's you. Thank you very much. See, that's why I got you.
I work with you.
But you know that analogy, because when we watch basketball, football, baseball, there's lines, umpires, mm-hmm. and ref. There's rules. There's mm-hmm. rules for mm-hmm. there's all the leagues have a rule. So mm-hmm. as men of God, we joined up. We committed and said who we are in Christ Jesus, that we believe the word of God. We believe Christ died for our sins. He is our Lord and Savior. So now all we're doing is keeping each other on the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Let's know when we're going to go out of bounds in the things we do, say, and choices we're making. And then mm-hmm. another mm-hmm. thing I too, bro, because I know I heard what you said, but I just want to make sure I read the audience out there, because you said the young brothers. We got some old hats out there who don't think they can get away with stuff. I mean, we have a generation, because we're responsible for the generation behind, responsible mm-hmm. to the generation that came before us, and where we are right now, our peers. Because
mm-hmm.
even though, Matt, you know, you both of us is past 6-0, so we have our peers that they'd be slipping a little bit, because they think they, mm-hmm. you know, they've been around for a while, so it don't really matter, but it does matter. Because, you know, sometimes, mm-hmm. a young man got to learn how to be an old man, because he mm-hmm. can't get it. He don't know what it is. But I can tell you how to be a young man. I can tell you when you're getting close to the white line. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we have to be as men of God. We have to be in a place where we're looking out for each other. And like you said, you can't encourage no one if you're selfish and it's about you. And when we talked about contentment, if it's about you, you can't help nobody. Go ahead, sir.
Let me put this in here. What is it? Galatians 1:10, somewhere around there. Work with me. This is, brother, if we're overtaken in a fault, that means we got issues, we got some things that we need to lay on the altar. He says, ye that are spiritual, go and restore the one. But he said, in meekness. You see. So therefore, I have to come with a lowly spirit. I have to come humbly myself. And I have to lift a brother up. So therefore, I'm going to have to reach down, put out a hand to help him. And my thing is this. When we do something like that, God gets the glory, you see. This is all about giving God glory. I got a few more minutes. I got to share this with you. I'm all excited.
Go ahead. We got time, bro. Go ahead.
I did my first, 5K walk. It was walk mm-hmm. and run, but I could only walk. And this is the first time I've walked that far. Now, started out, I was tickled, you know, just to be out there with all these people. It was called the Turkey Trot.
Mm-hmm.
Would you believe at the 2-mile mark, there was only one person behind me? Now, mm-hmm. in order to get in, I had to do like they did with the Ark. He took 10 paces, and then they shouted. Now, it may have sounded silly to some people, but that got me into the finish line, you see. Now,
yes.
I came in last. I would say, let's say 3,000 people. I'm just estimating, but it, you know, even if it was 1,000, I don't care. I came in dead last, Deacon Farr. Now I'm an athlete. I like competing, but it's something when I came in last. But guess what? The scripture came to mind: the last shall be first. And
amen.
For that, I shouted. I thank the Lord that. One, he gave me the ability and the wherewithal, and my wife encouragement to keep going, put one foot in front of the other. There were times when my foot hurt, my back, but I persevered because God's going to strengthen me. He's going to continue to do this process of in me, that I may be a witness for him, that the process of healing, you can endure it. You can go through. Now, I had someone there encouraging me every step of the way, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I finished the very thing that I started out to do. I didn't have to come in first. I came in last, but I didn't want to. But
amen.
That's how the Lord ministered to me, even in last. He said, the last shall be first.
That's right.
So, therefore, I was grateful after that. They gave me a medal, so I was tickled. And
amen.
The thing about it, though, it didn't matter what place really I came in. It's just that I finished the process, you see. Again, I'm not competing with anyone but myself at that point.
That's right.
And to be able to do it, I celebrated that fact. To be able to get out of bed and not have my wife help me, I celebrated that. I celebrated at the starting line. I started, walked with people. Then I looked back. My wife said, stop looking back. But I said, there's no one behind me. She said, that's okay. Keep going.
That's
and
right.
Would you believe there were still people waiting at the finish line because that's where I got my medal. And they were celebrating me. They were clapping. And it just made me feel good. And that's the thing.
Amen.
This isn't the final resting place, you see. So it doesn't make any difference what my neighbor has, if he has, what is that, the Bentley or any of those cars. They're just going to take you to A to B and bring you back,
amen.
You see. But everything we do here matters. And I tell guys every day, no time spent with the Lord is wasted. It's only wasted
amen.
To those that don't understand the benefit of staying in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You see. So I'm
well, you know,
there.
Brian, I was out here listening to you. For the brothers out there listening, just think about it. I want you to think about this, too. You were the only one in that race who finished the race who just had a car accident and surgeries. So you were
yes.
first. You were the first one who had was in an accident, got out of the surgeries, just got fit and was able to finish because you were the only guy who came from where you came from to finish. And that's,
mm-hmm.
again, brothers,
mm-hmm.
our testimony is, look what God has done and brought me from because all of our stories
yeah.
are different. So
yeah.
it doesn't matter. That's why we not compete with one another because God has brought us all from somewhere to where he's going to use us. And it's something that we learned a long time ago. Our lives are intersected is not a chance happenstance. God put the people that we engage in our lives and the path of our lives cross, if it may be for a season or whatever, it was ordained by God. So that's why we have to be mindful of the people we're around, the opportunities we're given, to when God's going to tell us to say a word, say something, do, you know what I mean? That God wants to use us to impact. That impact the environment. We talk about that, but remember, impacting the environment could be our connection with someone in the supermarket, in the Walmart, connect with them, hello, how you doing, whatever. And in that moment, God can use us. And that's what we have to be.
Yeah.
Again, so
yeah.
so as men of God, this is when we talk about, and especially in the body of Christ, you know, like we talked about with the pandemic and people not coming together face-to-face, there was a lot of, this in this last year, I'm going to say there was a lot of missed opportunities and a lot of people didn't receive the encouragement for whatever reason, just from not meeting, from not seeing each other. And you know, I talked to pastors and brothers, you know, that are in ministry and their leaders, where they talk about a lot of people drifted just because they couldn't come together on a Sunday. And their faith, and they drifted, and getting them back and bringing them back and reaching out to them, it seems like one brother said, it seems like I'm starting all over again for these folk who've been with me for years. Cause just to get them, you know, I understand what I'm saying, but I'm not, I won't mention no names to call no churches out, which I know who you are, but anyway.
so you know who they are.
But that's the thing. So that's what we got to pray about and pray for it and pray for the church. But brothers, what we're going to do, we're going to end right here. Again, this has been, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues Christian Men Talk. I've been here talking about the character excuse me, the character traits of a man of God, and we touched on two. We was going to touch on some more, but our time ran out because I know we only do our segments because we don't want to overwhelm the brothers. But we do want you to take an opportunity and meditate and sink in what was said today, and find somewhere. I pray that something was said that would encourage you to continue to press on. To give you that encouragement to reach out, to give you that encouragement to get to open your word, to understand what contentment truly is, what it is to encourage one another in the things of God. And your brothers, like I always say, reach out to your brothers out there. If you haven't seen a brother in 30 days, a week, a month, or whatever, you know, let me say this, because as men of God, we need to start connecting again because everything else is open. It may not be over, but if you look around, the culture has opened everything else up. So we need to, the body of Christ, congregations, pastors, elders, whoever's out there, and people's in Walmart. So I don't understand why we can't come together for a couple hours on Sunday, at least Sunday. I'm not going to talk about Bible study right now. I'm going to give you up to the spring for that. But Sunday service, coming together as a congregation, there should be no more hindrances. I'm just saying, pray about it and let the Spirit be led. But I know churches that are open and again, encouraging people is like starting all over. And these are people who have been in the body of Christ a while, but it's time. And let me say that to you, brothers. And brothers, if you're one of those who are already going back, call somebody up you know you haven't seen back in the fellowship and just encourage them, reach out to them. Maybe that's what they need. They need somebody to one-on-one call them, talk to them, tell them what's going on, you know, whatever the setup is, whatever. But we have to have a heart to want to encourage one another and strengthen one another. That's what we're called to do. Bro, I'm going to give you the closing comments, and you can pray us out. And again, brother, I appreciate you, man. I thank you for taking time out and sharing this time with me. And I continue to pray for your healing and pressing in because you need. When I first saw it and heard, I said, "What? I just talked to that brother. What's going on?"
Yeah.
But anyway,
my Lord,
my Lord, my Lord. But I'm going to give it to you, bro, but I just want to say I appreciate you, man. Love you. And I'm giving you the closing comments and then pray us out, if you would. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
And God bless
you. Thank you again to all the listeners. Just send a like or just a word of encouragement to Deacon Farr. And pray for your pastors. And if you don't have one, there is one out there for you. Ask the Lord for that. And I'm saying pray for your pastors that they're not weary and well-doing. Even during these difficult times, it's challenging to come up with ways, creative ways, to keep the touch points. You get a chance, hug someone, tell them you love them, and let the love of Christ emanate in your life, that you will continue to be that beacon of hope. We're in the month where we celebrate Christ's birthday, so celebrate Christ. Keep Christ in Christmas, and whatever you do, remember someone else. And that's what I have. Just remember someone else less fortunate. In Jesus' name. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this fellowship, Lord God. Your word declares if you be lifted up, you will draw all men, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that this ministry will be one that will be used by you to lift up the kingdom, Lord God. Draw from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that men and women, Lord, lives will be changed, Lord God. And we thank you that the glory of the Lord would hover upon this ministry. Bless Deacon Farr, that there be no lack in his cupboard, Lord God. Send help from unexpected sources, resources, Lord God, from the endless treasure, Lord. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we say amen and amen and amen again. Thank you, sir.